Is your business stuck in one spot, struggling to grow? Our 8-week ProFit Business Accelerator at winninggym.com/grow has your back. Sign up now for easy wins. No more struggle, just straight growth. You've got this. Now let's head on back to the show.
You are listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined by Randy Engston. What's up, buddy?
I feel like I'm going to be shot.
Yeah, let's not point that
out. Can we angle this a little?
Yeah.
Stare down the barrel of a gun.
So I get into the office today and there's a giant box. And this is very similar to the gift you gave me over, I think, a year ago at Christmas time or something. It's a decanter of, this is an AR-15. You fill it with bourbon.
And it's full.
I had to fill it up. Like, it's right here. We have a couple bottles in the other room. So hey, if you're watching us on YouTube, you're going to see the decanter, an AR-15. Looks full, like a Daniel defense.
Full of bourbon.
nice rail on top. You can put some optics.
A lot of option with that one.
Yeah. And I already broke a glass. So that's why I only see 3 of the 4 glasses here. But we only have 2 people. So, hey, cheers.
Let's go.
Cheers. Good episode for everybody today. We're going to rock and roll, get right into it. This topic is, you know, what are the problems you're facing in your gym right now? You hear this all the time, staffing. I can't find good people. I can't find rock stars. People I'm meeting with just aren't qualified, all of the things. And look, I get it. It's hard. We are very picky, and I think you should be picky, because if you hire somebody just based on sole need and you don't really think that person is a real good fit, but you're hoping for the best, you could collapse your business.
Well, like we've talked before, I mean, making decisions for the business from a place of desperation can be very, very slippery. We'll get into obviously how to go about the staff side of it, but this is like the number one or two topic.
Yeah.
It's this and leads we hear every time.
All right. Well, let me take you back to the original gym, the OG Pulse Fitness 2009. We're rocking and rolling. We had just literally changed around 2010 into a training model, and I was looking for staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been kind of spoiled because I just, you know, I come out of college football with a really good strength and conditioning coach. He just came from UCLA. And the current coach that was there that was with me, so he replaced the guy now is at the head coach at Ohio State. So, like, these are really good strength coaches, and I'm, you know, they're very knowledgeable folks, and, you know, I was looking for that type of coach.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to come in and you're going to work for me, but you're going to have all the education, the degrees, certifications, and all of the things. And we did that for a while. In fact, we started building a reputation of really high-quality coaches, really high-educated. And, you know, could I argue that maybe some people came in because of that? Maybe. But the majority of people were just coming in, and we just happened to have the coaches there. And, you know, obviously they were great. And it wasn't the reason they came in.
Yeah, I think I've talked to Zach. I've asked him, you know, how many people at a point of sale, at a consultation, have actually asked the question, like, what's the certification of your team? Like, what is the level of education that they've gone through? I think to date, I think he said, like, 1.
Yeah, I had very few myself. When I was doing sales, it was a handful at best. And so we were really picky, and I would, you know, I'd only hire coaches that, you know, in fact, there was coaches that were professors at Arizona State, kinesiology, human movement, exercise science.
Mm-hmm.
They all came out of that program, or they were teaching that, or they were in a master's degree at AT Stills or whatever, right? And so I was feeling pretty good. Hey, we got the smartest coaches in the game, right? And I didn't know as much as I do now when it comes to psychology around human behavior, and what the clients are really looking for is somebody who cares about them. That's it. I was blown away after a couple of years with a particular coach was super analytical,
technical,
theoretical, and cerebral, if you will.
Sure.
She was really deep into the science behind a lot of the movements and the exercises we chose for our clients, and she wanted to tell everybody about mm-hmm. it. And God bless her. She's super smart, and she was a professor as well. And her husband was also a strength conditioning specialist in pro sports. So she lived it. She was all about it. And I started getting people saying, hey, you know, that was kind of a boring session, and, you know, I didn't get through all my stuff, and, you know, I really wish we could just work faster, you know. So we started deciding later on, like, that's probably not the best fit for the clientele that we're looking for. Maybe in a sports performance atmosphere or a professional sports team, that's probably the best selection. But for our clients, 50 and over, moms and dads, their goal is to work out today and not really understand too much about the science behind all of the movements that we chose.
Well, and if you think about it, they're paying you for that, right? Somebody coming to receive personal training mm-hmm. isn't trying to become a personal trainer.
No.
They don't, we talk about all the time, even with nutrition, like half our clients don't care. They just want to know what to eat. They don't care about the macro breakdown. They don't care about like what each little thing's doing for them as much as they just want the answer that they can go execute. And it's almost like she was capable of training trainers. And she you know what I mean? She like treated each client like they wanted the knowledge that she had, but at the expense of the customer experience, client experience.
Yeah, and that was only one of maybe five coaches mm-hmm. that were doing the same thing. We just didn't hear about it as much. So long story short, we started getting away from that kind of style of coach, and we went to the caring coach, the high fives and chest bumps coach, the coach that's going to put their arm around your shoulders, going to be okay today, great job. And we could teach them the rest. We can teach them the program, and we can teach them how to run a great session. And when we did that, it allowed us to lower our standard of the client or the coaches coming in, because we weren't looking for that high education. We were looking for something. We're looking for soft skills.
Yeah.
Can you communicate? And one of our interview processes is we call it practical. You do an interview, but you also do a practical where we want to see how you coach.
Sure.
And we're doing things wrong on purpose. They're taking the coaching team through a workout, and it's only 15 minutes, but it's like, show us how you designed this and tell us why you did it this way, and then watch us and train us, and we're going to do shit wrong. And we want to see how you cue.
Yep.
That's really what we're looking for. And we've weeded out a ton of people that way. However, the key to this whole thing of being able to find great coaches isn't necessarily in the qualifications of the client, of the coach, is the onboarding of the coach into your system.
I was going to say the systems the gym has.
The systems the gym has.
Attention gym owners, are you ready to take your business to the next level? Join our exclusive Facebook group, ProFit Accelerator, and unlock the potential to scale your gym to $30,000 a month and beyond. In the ProFit Accelerator group, we're going to focus solely on helping gym owners just like you win. We offer regular training sessions and share our best proven strategies to boost your business. Join us now by searching for ProFit Accelerator on Facebook. Be part of a community that's all about success and growth, the ProFit Accelerator, where gym owners thrive. All right, now let's get back to the show.
So we take away the need of any coach needing to sell. Like that's, we don't need them to sell. We got that handled. We're going to do the marketing. We're going to do the selling. You don't need to worry about it. We're taking away the need of a coach to have to program. Mm-hmm. That's coming from our top down, as we suggest that you do as well. We shouldn't leave the programming in the hands of the coaches. We need to take that as a gym and brand that whole process. And the way that we coach our the way we onboard our coaches is through what we call the standards. Instead of like getting so deep in the weeds, you need to do these five things, and this is our standard workout, our standard session, our standard experience, and our standard coach. And when they know that's very clear, this is what we expect of you, you can get a coach onboarded very quick and into the system immediately. The first week, they're shadowing us. We're going through our paperwork. We're going through our process, what we believe in. We're going through our core values. We're going through the way we program, and all that stuff is in week one. And they're just their only job is to meet clients. Introduce yourself. Sure. That's all I care about the first week. Second week, we're going to do a little bit of a reverse shadow if they're ready. That may happen in week three, but in week two, we're going to let them coach a couple sessions where we're right on top of them, making sure that they follow everything. And we're also knighting. I say knighting by like when you have a knight with a king, you know, touches the shoulders with the sword. We're knighting the coach to the clients. Hey, got a great new coach here in good hands. We're gonna keep an eye on everything for you.
Edification, right?
Knighting, edifying. That this is the one, right?
Yep.
We're okay. We've hand selected this coach, and by week three, if everything goes great, they're kind of starting to train on their own. We're going to hand them over a couple clients, a couple hours, not clients, but a couple of hours, and Zach's going to be all over them.
Mm-hmm.
And then week four, week five, week six, they're off. And by the time that happens, we've moved on. We filled the void. We've onboarded a new coach. We didn't have any downtime, and we're moving on. And we always have, although also this, guys, you should always have a job posting out. Mm-hmm. You should also have something on your website that you can take resumes on. And just collect. Even if you don't need a coach, you never know what's going to happen. Last month, we lost two coaches here. Not by not paying them enough and they're going down the street and working for somebody else. They both got into the schools that they wanted to. So one got into a school in Oregon in nutrition. Another one is going into physical therapy. We knew about both of them before they started. They just happened to get the letters the same time.
Same month, sure.
And so they put their notice in. Both gave us a month notice. This isn't like they disappeared tomorrow.
Yeah.
Complete respect for both ways. They didn't burn any bridges. We knew about this from day one. And that's the thing about younger coaches, you know, early 20s. They're still... And coaches in general, always looking for education.
Mm-hmm.
Always. That's like part of their motivator.
Yeah.
Theoretical. If you look at the DISC assessments, high theoretical. They always want to be learning. So the fact that they got into nutrition master's program in Oregon, cool. The fact they're going to physical therapy school, it makes sense. You know, they're in their early 20s. Our older coaches, you know, mid 40s and higher, they ain't going anywhere.
Sure.
They're loving this environment. So... The challenge that most gyms face is like, hey, I've got to have this really high skill set of a coach coming in and be able to just kind of go with it. And they don't really have a big onboarding process of training and performance evaluation, all the things that we have. And it makes it difficult.
Well, not only that, but too, I think the other end of it is you bring somebody in who, much to what we talk about and preach and control when it comes to the programming, when it comes to the brand owning, that type of stuff. If you bring in that ultra educated individual who has their own beliefs that might not be in line with yours, now you've got conflict. Now you've got friction in the business. Now you've got somebody who might be going through the motions with what you're doing, but they're doing it with resistance because they have their own thoughts and beliefs and that they want to kind of impress upon the clients and the mm-hmm. training and the programming. And ultimately, that's not what you want out of a coach. You want somebody who's going to adopt your methodologies, yeah. who understands, like, that's not the role that I'm assigned. My job is to execute the programming that's deliver, you know, exactly. that the brand is delivering and do that at the best of my ability.
Yep.
that creates, you know, that team atmosphere and that understanding that, hey, I don't have to go spend my time worrying about the programming. Let me go use the systems in place
mm-hmm.
and really just execute the system very, very well.
Yep.
But you have to have those systems if you want that type of outcome from your coach. And I think that's another area where gyms lack.
Yep.
They just lack the systems for both onboarding, but then also owning that programming, owning that delivery mm-hmm. of the client's results. They're leaving that up to the coach, and that's where we see a lot of the other problems.
Yeah, and we teach to this in our coaching programs mm-hmm. and stuff, guys. If you need help with this, just reach out. But you know, at the end of the day, look, you can create an environment and a path for your coaches if you deliberately or intentionally create it. If you don't have any of those things, it's going to be very difficult.
Oh, yeah.
The coach is going to churn. They're going to run their own play. The worst thing, guys, this is like a catch-22 in this business. The worst thing is the clients thinking the coaches are the reason for the results. That's the worst thing that can happen.
You know,
why would that be, Tim? Because isn't that the whole point of a coach? Well, yeah, but they need to believe it's coming from the gym,
mm-hmm.
not from the coach. Because if that coach leaves, off goes the client with him.
Yeah.
And this has happened to everybody listening. If you've been in business more a year or longer, you've had a coach leave and clients decided to leave with them or because of that, or there was a change and they didn't like the new coach and they quit. The biggest attrition event is turnover.
There you go.
And you got to keep your coaches on a path. You got to give them, you got to be able to replace them quickly. And we have to, as a business side of the business, we have to understand these are just seats or cogs in the wheel. It's a hard thing to say because these are people, but they're providing they're delivering a service.
Mm-hmm.
They're not creating the service. You are. They're exactly. not creating the delivery. You are. They're just they're just providing the service to the end user.
Yeah. Yeah. And you might see that in your gym, right? If your clients, if that person comes in and only wants to train with a certain coach, why? Right. There should be some, you should have a somewhat level playing field where the experience from coach to coach is similar enough to where your clientele are happy training with any one of your coaches.
Yeah. That's the goal.
Yeah, that's the goal. I mean, and you'll see it in your business. I mean, now granted, personality types and things like that, like people might just gravitate towards who they align with a little bit more. But when it comes to the result that they're receiving, there has to be that commonality and it has to be owned by that brand. Has to be owned by the brand.
Totally agree.
Hey there, gym owners. Is your business standing strong, making at least 30K or more a month? And you're seeking the next challenge, like what's the next step in your journey? Well, look no further than the Iron Circle. Our elite growth community is the place for gym owners just like you who are not satisfied with the status quo. We'll show you how to take your business from good to great and from a strong gym into a powerful fitness legacy. Head on over to our website and apply to join the Iron Circle at ironcircle.net and start your journey to the next level today. All right. We'll see you inside the show. Bye.
And so the next question is, Tim, where do you find coaches? Like, where do you get the resumes? And I'll just give you a list of where we do and what I've heard of other gyms doing. Number one, if you're with ADP, you get a free job posting on ZipRecruiter that you can run 24/7. Like, there's no cost to that. And as a ADP client, maybe check with Paychex, but we're with ADP, you can just have it out there running all the time. Number two, we really like Indeed. The question is, do you run paid or not? We've done both. We've run heavy budgets and when we were desperately needing to backfill coaches, and we've run with no budgets. We do better with no budget.
Interesting.
Weird.
Yeah.
So you can have that one out running. We have something on our website at all times, careers, we get a couple resumes a month just floating there. We may not be hiring for six. We may not hire for a whole year, but look, hey, we got the last four resumes that came in. Maybe we'll go back to those four. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? See if they're still in the market. On top of that, we have a really good relationship with Exos in their internship program. They call it a mentorship program. We get a lot of coaches from there, and we also send coaches back to them. They came here, like we had an intern, not an intern, we had a mentorship export from Exos that came over here, took 2 years with us. He got the job back for a huge position back over there.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we have a good relationship with them. Also, we recently put an internship program in where we're always kind of keeping interns around. We have, we just hired our last one with the backfill, and we got another intern coming in. And then you could always have, agreements with colleges and universities in your area. And the last thing is maybe keep an eye out for your clients that might be a good fit.
There you go.
I've never hired a client. I know gyms that only hire clients. It just whatever works for you. I've heard of CrossFits a lot hiring clients, yeah. Like because they buy into the culture and it's a whole thing. It just never worked out here. Not that we haven't kept our eye out. Just there was just nothing worked out. So. Sure. So those would be a couple of the places. And then always asking your current coaches if they know of anybody that might be in the field. Top of that, you could always go to another gym and work out there and see if there's an all-star, but most likely there's not.
Sure.
Most likely if you go to a big box gym, they're pretty basic. They turn over coaches at the big boxes weekly.
Well, we heard that stat, right? Coaches now are entering and exiting the entire industry on average within a year.
Yeah.
And not that you can, it's to me, that's data, right? Like, what do we do with that information? We understand that, okay, this is the average, mm-hmm. that coaches are experiencing, whether it be your facility, other facilities. But if that's the average, do we also anticipate hiring a coach and having them here 10 years later? Probably not the likelihood, right? Mm-hmm. It's probably not the norm anymore. And so not that you should hope and want your team to be replaced every so many years, but understand that that if that's the norm, you better damn well be prepared for that to be taking place, right? Yeah. And so I was, as you were talking about kind of different places to find coaches, I think of it a lot like marketing, you know, for new business. You should have multiple polls, you know, seeking coaches. You should always have something out there for resumes, for, you know, people to raise their hand and say, hey, I'm interested in potentially working with you. That's going to help you backfill, because the thing is, like, if you don't have that list, you're going to end up needing somebody at a time that's really inconvenient. You know, you might not get a month's worth of notice.
Yeah.
You know, somebody moves on and they're just not very communicative, and all of a sudden you got a week to try and backfill. And what does that mean? That means you as the owner is probably taking sessions again.
Yeah.
You're back on the floor. You're, you know, the reason that you have that backup is so that you're building that layer of protection for yourself,
sure,
so that you're not drawn right back into fulfillment of the needs of the business. And if you don't have, you know, a group of people to pull from, that's when desperation sets in, and so does the unhappiness when you're back on the floor 40 hours a week.
And you can make a really rash hire, and it could be a bad decision. The last thing I'll mention here, and you said it, it's like, hey, we can't expect our coach to be here for 10 years, 5 years, even three. If you do, great. I had a mentor once tell me if his coaches are there longer than 3 years, he's kind of kicking them out, because they're getting stale.
Well, and there's something to be said about that, right? The progression of their desires and their future and things like that. Like, are you happy just sitting in this seat, or are you continuing your education? Are you pushing your personal excellence forward?
Well, the tough part in a small gym, there's really no upward.
And that,
I mean, you got the fitness director role, and maybe if you got multiple locations, give you a regional, and then you're the owner. And it's like, there's not much of a corporate ladder here. And I guess, well, I mean, that's a good kind of place to end it. I would tell you this. The last thing is, when a coach leaves, celebrate it with the clients, because they're going to make up their own stories as to why that coach is leaving. And you want to write the narrative.
Yep.
We're so excited that JC got an opportunity to go to physical therapy school. We're so excited. This was been a goal of JC since we hired her. We knew this was coming, and we were wishing her the best of luck.
Because otherwise, if you leave that to the perception of the marketplace, clients assume that, like, she had to go find something to go do because you weren't paying her enough.
Yeah.
Or she wasn't happy here.
Don't make up the story.
And it's human nature. I mean, they could pull that out of thin air, but just the fact of, she's going to school instead of doing this, she must not have been happy here.
Like turnover, again, attrition, I guess turnover in coaches, the clients, that's the biggest attrition event.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to decide what the story is. So you need to tell the story. Throw them a party. We threw both the coaches a party. Freaking clients were bringing them gifts and all kinds of stuff. It's just good. That's what you want to have happen. And like, nobody's gone. Nobody left because of these two coaches leaving. They just had great opportunities. We knew it all up front, and we told the story. You know, it's the news. It's propaganda. What's the word? The narrative.
The narrative. Yeah.
Yeah. You control the narrative. You control the narrative. That's what the news is doing every day to you. So that's it for this episode. Hopefully this helps you guys. I think the biggest key takeaway to this whole episode here is that create systems to allow you to lower the expectations of the quality of the coach that you're bringing in, looking for soft skills over heavy education. And the pool will open up. You may even have a coach that doesn't even have a certification that you hire and get them in certified within the first 90 days. Gives you way more options in the market than just this all-star, high educated, high quality coach that you said may end up not agreeing with some of your systems anyway.
And maybe you can't even afford them.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the thing is, like, we talked about, you can recruit too. I mean, like, you mentioned other gyms. Yeah. If it's soft skills, think of the person who takes care of you. Like, it could be a great server who's in shape and cares about stuff, you know, at a restaurant. It could be a bartender who's got super personable skills.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, again, we go back to the training components, especially when you have your systems, your programming.
Mm-hmm.
That is an easily coachable candidate, as opposed to bringing somebody in who's steadfast in what they believe and wants to, you know, put up those walls and play their game. You're going to have a lot more resistance, you know, bringing them to the team than the person who is the right person, and the skills can be developed.
Correct. Correct. Awesome. Hopefully that helps you guys. That's it for this episode. Until next time, keep changing the lives. We'll see you on the next show. Bye.
All right. And thank you for listening to that episode of the Built to Grow podcast, where we help gym owners win. Now, do you want to connect with me and other gym owners online? All you need to do is join our private Facebook group, Business Talk with Fitness Professionals. Just head on over to Facebook and type in Business Talk with Fitness Professionals. And when you do, we're going to give you our 10 marketing strategies 7-figure gym owners use to win. I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Until then, keep building something great.